Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me just get out everything. Hopefully no one will call me while we're speaking. Well, as Stephen said, I'm from Tennessee, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and it certainly is wonderful to be here with everybody out there. I think I have not met everybody, but I hope to before the end of the feast. I've met, I would say, maybe 70 to 75% of the faces I see out there, so I'll work through getting to know everyone else before the end, before we get to the end. As we keep this feast, we're reminded by the scriptures that have already been read and that we'll read again today that we are temporary residents on this earth. Most of us have left our normal places of residence where we reside throughout the year, and we've come here to Montgomery, Alabama. And we're living in a temporary place. We're living in, actually, the place that we're blessed to have this year. We didn't realize this until we got here, but it's probably close to twice as big as the home that we live in Tennessee. So it's a huge space for us to be in. We're not used to being that far apart in one place. But it's interesting because I was telling some of the people earlier this morning that I was dreaming this morning at about 10 till 6, and I heard a voice calling me that sounded like my wife. And the thing is I'm at the opposite end of the condo from where she is. I mean, and I should explain, I make a lot of noise sleeping, so she doesn't sleep in the same room with me. So anyway, I'm laying there in bed, and I hear, "Eric!" And it just sounded like her voice calling me. So I jumped out of bed and walked around the condo, and it was dark. Everything was dark. I thought, okay, I was dreaming. That was just a dream. So I went back to bed, and unlike Samuel, it didn't happen again. So I was able to get a few more Z's in after that. But anyway, we're here in a temporary place, in temporary dwellings, reminded that we are temporary in this life. Let's turn over to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, and we've already read this verse, I think, a couple of times so far. Leviticus 23 and verse 39. This is speaking of the Feast of Tabernacles. It says, "Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you've gathered in the fruit of the land, and you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days." And here we are already on day three. "On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day of the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast of the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month, and you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So embedded in that verse that we just read is the word tabernacles. It's also translated in some versions as booths. It is translated from the Hebrew word sukkah, which simply means a temporary dwelling. In fact, it actually was used to name a little town. When Jacob was coming back from where he was with his uncle Laban, he came to a place east of Jordan, and he called the city Sukkoth. It ended up being called Sukkoth, which basically just means temporary dwellings, because he had built some temporary shelters for his herds to be in while he was in that area. So that city name got its name from that word, a temporary shelter. Let's go back to the book of Job and read something that Job said about this human existence. And of course, Job was encountering probably more suffering than most of us could ever think of experiencing in our lives. And he wrote this in Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14 and verse 1. I'll give you a chance to get over there. Job 14 and verse 1. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. I don't know how many of you have gardens, but I do grow some flowers in my front yard, and one of those is lilies. And most of you know when a lily comes out, the first day or two of that flower blossoming is it's the best time to see that flower because it's in its best state. But after a couple of days go by, the leaves begin to get a little crinkly on the edges and it begins to droop. And it eventually closes back up and dries off and falls off to the ground. That is the picture of our lives that we get from the scripture, is that we are temporary. And I wanted to do something here. I hope this will work as a visual demonstration of the temporary nature of our lives. I wanted to try this. We'll see if this works. But this is a visual representation of our lives. You see this match? That's all the young people in this room. Lucas, Logan, Cameron. And then slowly it burns down. And that's where we go. Into a puff of smoke. That's the picture of our lives. Hey, let's go to another scripture that I think that is relevant to this in 1 Chronicles 29. This scripture is something that David said near the end of his life. As he was getting ready to, actually he had already sort of turned over the reins of power to his son Solomon. And he was giving this prayer before a whole group of assembled leaders that had come. He had called them together to basically, in a way, present to them the plans for the temple that he had put together, to present to them his offerings that he had planned to give, and to ask them to also give offerings for the temple. And he said this as he prayed to God near the end of his life. We don't know if it's his very end, but this was near the end of his life, his existence on the earth. And in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 13, he says this, "Now therefore, our God," and we're breaking into the middle of the prayer, "we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you." So despite all of the riches that we read about in the previous chapter, David acknowledges all of this came from you. It's not something that we accumulated without your help. For all things come from you and your own, of your own, we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all of our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow and without hope. Now hopefully that's not our state. We are not without hope, as David concluded that prayer with. We are with much hope, looking forward to the next phase. But at the moment, we are being reminded that we are temporary. Let's go over to Hebrews 11 and read about those who also had a very temporary existence and understood what their way of life entailed. Hebrews chapter 11, and many of us know this as the faith chapter. It's basically a whole chapter talking about faith and giving examples of people that live their lives in faith. Hebrews 11, let's begin reading here, and we're going to pick out just a few verses out of this chapter. Hebrews 11 and verse 9. Speaking of Abraham, "By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents," or temporary dwellings, "with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Now drop down to verse 13. These all died in faith, speaking of all the people that had been mentioned previously, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now down to verse 16. But now they desire that is a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Abraham's descendants were reminded of this lesson. Not only that Abraham and the patriarchs, as they were known, had lived in temporary dwellings, but they had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, living in a temporary dwelling, in a temporary state. And today, even today, these feast days are known amongst the Jewish people as the pilgrimage festivals, because they involve becoming a pilgrim, a traveler for God. Let's look forward. Let's take a look at this future state. Let's begin looking at our future state. And let's turn over to Zechariah 14. I know that this has also been read, but I want to just touch on one verse here in Zechariah 14. As we begin to transition to our future state, this is going to be something that will happen during that time. Zechariah 14 and verse 16, we're just going to read the one verse here. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So in the future, all peoples will go and observe these days, these feast days, forever. It's going to be perpetually done. It doesn't say there will be an end to this time. So we are reminded by this time that we are temporary. I remember speaking with Naomi yesterday, and she was telling me, I wish we could go back and start over, go back to day one. And I know that a lot of us have that feeling as we get further into the feast, we think, it's going by too fast. Can we just go jump back a couple days and add some time to it? But there's something more. And we know that the scriptures tell us that we're waiting for something much better than this physical life, than this physical environment that we're in. And I wanted to use something, I hope this will come over okay, another demonstration. Let's see if this works. And I was trying to think of something to, I guess in a sense, kind of visualize in your mind's eye what it's going to be like. And there's no way that we can really, I think, fathom it. But I wanted to do this it came to my mind as a way to maybe visualize our future state. And this, we'll see if it plays. We'll see if the sound works. I'll hold it up to the microphone. I don't know if you guys can hear it, but this is the sound they play at the beginning of a lot of movies. That was what came to my mind when I think about our future. The glory that we're going to experience. Anyway, let's go read about that in 2 Corinthians. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and who knows, we're not really told in this passage if this was around the feast. It could have been. Certainly the topic here is relevant to the days that we are in. As far as looking to our future state, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 16. Verse 16. Therefore, and therefore we do not lose heart, Paul is writing to them, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So our knees may not be working like they used to. Our eyes are not working the way they used to. Our hearing, any number of things, are beginning to stop working. But Paul looked at this and he looked at the future. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and it will be but for a moment when you think of eternity, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then continuing on in chapter 5, and as Stephen pointed out, there were no chapter breaks here, but let's go on to chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, and we know that eventually it will break down and be destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up in life. That is the future state we all look forward to. That is where we are headed. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 just to get an idea of a little more description of that future state. 1 Corinthians 15. And this whole chapter is about the resurrection. But I just want to pick out a few verses that talk about our future state. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is also a spiritual body. And that spiritual body, we know, will have the ability to see Christ. We remember when Moses was talking with God and he said, I want to see you. And God told him, you can't. If you saw me, you would die. So he stuck him, remember, he put him in a rock, in a cleft of a rock, and let him see his backside. That's all he could really stand. But we know that in our future state, we'll see Christ face to face, which means that we will have that same spiritual body that he has, and that we will be able to stand up to that power and see Christ face to face. So we're reminded today, we're reminded now, we're temporary. We're here in temporary bodies. We're here for a temporary amount of time, 7-8 days. We're here in temporary dwellings. But we look forward in our mind's eye to something that's permanent, something that's down the road when God's kingdom will rule this entire earth, when all people will know the Lord. We won't have to ask, as it says in Isaiah, do you know the Lord? Everyone will know. One where you and I will get to serve the millions, the billions of people that will be given an opportunity to know their Creator. Eternal spirit beings with bodies that don't wear out, with knees that don't fail, eyes that are always perfect, 20/20, ears that can hear everything that we need to hear, and minds that are sharp, sharp as a tack, as they say. That is our future. That is what we look forward to. Let us all hold on to that hope.